Seams.com, InsideTheSeams.com, joining us here on the program. What's going on today, Tracy? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's everything with you?
It's outstanding. It's very relaxing today.
Oh, money must be gone.
Yeah, you know, myself and Jeremiah hanging out here and watching the Cubs and the Nationals play, and been a pretty good game. I want to know, though, as the Cubs just tied things up in the seventh, what is the deal with the starting the short leash on starting pitching? Because Scherzer was rolling. I understand he gave up the double. They take him out in the bottom of the seventh. He hadn't thrown that many pitches, but we've seen that in all these series where really good starters are getting taken out with such short leashes. It just seems like a new trend right now.
Yeah, I think it's something that probably came out of a computer. I can understand it. I can understand it, like in the wild card game,
right?
Because you have no other choice. You got to win. You have to do whatever you can to win that night. You know, and I can understand it if you're about to be eliminated, because there's no sense saving any bodies if it means you're going home for the winter anyhow. But in these other ones, I don't really get it. But I'm old school. You know, I go back. To watch Nolan throw 230 pitches in a game. You know, they say that they're not effective lately. Well, when he left the Angels, which is when I quit keeping track of things, he was 96-4 when he went to the mound in the ninth inning with a lead. I think that's better than most relief pitchers. You know, and he might have been up to 200 pitches, but he still seemed to be able to get people out. We're creating a mindset of what you can't do. And the thing is, these guys don't stay healthier.
Right, and Max Scherzer seems like an old school type of pitcher. At least to me, he seems like that. With kind of the stuff he does have, he's taken a no hitter. He's thrown multiple no hitters. I'm not saying he's Nolan Ryan, but kind of this generation's Nolan Ryan. I just don't get it. And he doesn't look very happy in the dugout. I don't know if that's because he was pulled or because they gave up the run or what. But you got one of the best pitchers. Why not let him try and get himself out of it?
Yeah, I mean that. That's where I said, to me, there's got to be something with the computer and stuff, because I've been around Dusty enough to know that Dusty's got an old-school mentality. And, I don't know. I don't fully grasp the rationalization. I mean, they've got all these different conditioning techniques now, and they're saying that guys can't pitch as much as they used to pitch. I don't understand what the conditioning techniques are. I mean, everyone goes, well, Nolan was a freak. Well, he was a 10th round draft pick, so obviously everybody didn't think he was that much of a freak. You know, he was just really into his lower body. You know, he would show up at spring training and he'd throw 100 pitches in the first time out in the spring, because he spent the whole winter getting ready to pitch, and his focus was on his lower body. Now, he also never threw a slider, which causes problems in your arm, and he never threw a split finger pitch, which causes problems with your arm. He threw a fastball, curveball, and a changeup, which are all pitches that are basically the same elbow action. Therefore, you're not putting a strain there that you haven't built the arm up to handle. And as Rick Honeycutt said, he also had the steepest mound in baseball. And no one said, yeah, well, he should have been there when we had 15-inch mounds. You could really have some steepness. And the purpose behind the steepness is that it gives more time for the impact to shift to your lower body, right? Instead of the flatter it is, the more your upper body feels the impact of the release. And Nolan, so that's why, you know, Kershaw had some back problems, but you've never heard him having arm problems, have you?
Mm-mm.
Look how far he and Bumgarner stride when they go to throw. Well, that long stride, instead of this new pitching mechanics things where you have this small stride and all this, the long stride means you have more time again to move the impact of the release of the ball to the lower part of your body. The legs are your strength. But anyhow, we digress. That doesn't get us anywhere.
Aside from maybe starters getting the hook a little quickly, what else has stood out to you about this the divisional series so far?
What's amazed me is how many players from the 2011 draft are in this thing. I did a thing today and broke it down. I mean, there's an amazing number of players from the 2011 draft that are actually in this. I think 7 of the first 10 draft picks that year if you go through the first, like, five rounds, because Greg Bird was a fifth rounder, there's like 15, 16 players from that draft, the fifth rounder earlier, that are actually in the postseason this year, including two with the Rockies.
Right.
Anderson and Story. You know, it's kind of fun to see some of these younger guys get that opportunity and then take advantage of that opportunity. It's really fun to do it when you see the Yankees giving guys that opportunity. You know, because they've had that reputation. But you know, Trevor Bauer was the third pick, Rendon was the sixth pick, Bradley was the seventh pick, Lindor was the eighth pick, Baez was the ninth pick, Springer was the 11th pick in that draft. They're all in here. Sonny Gray was the 18th, Matt Barnes was the 19th, Austin Hedges was a second round pick, Tyler Anderson was the 20th pick, Story was the 45th pick, sandwich pick between the first and second round. Jackie Bradley was the 40th player taken. Cody Anderson went in the 14th round. Kyle Hendricks went in the 8th round. Mookie Betts went in the 5th round. Tony Cingari went in the 3rd round, and Andrew Chafin went in the supplemental round. So that's a pretty good haul, don't you think?
That's a really good haul. And one thing I've noticed, too, and listen, I knew Houston was really, really good. They're a fun team to watch. I never really sat down and watched an Astros game. Those first two games in Houston where they just put on a show, and Altuve is unbelievable. They're a fun, fun team to watch, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I think, just think where they'd be if J.D. Martinez was still there.
Yeah.
If they hadn't released him. But, but the interesting thing of that team is all the players that came out of the system there, not one of them is the product of the current administration. They all came from the guy they fired after the first draft they were there.
Wow. I think Houston and Cleveland could be a real... I know Cleveland's got to win one of the next two games, but what do you think? If those two teams are playing each other in an ALCS, that has the makings to be a really, really good series, doesn't it?
Yeah, because both teams have such... They have pretty good balance, and they have exciting young players that can create things. Yeah, no, I kind of like that one... I like that matchup probably as good as any matchup that could be out there.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here in the program. Are you surprised at how easily it seems like the Dodgers are taking it to Arizona? I know they've got to go to Arizona now in a big game tonight to possibly wrap it up, but the way the Diamondbacks and Dodgers entered the postseason, it seemed like Arizona might have the edge, but the Dodgers look pretty salty right now.
Yeah, Arizona, the starting pitching is what you keep going back to and wondering about, particularly if Greinke doesn't go out and establish himself. And I mean, I think even against the Rockies, which Greinke is supposed to be their main guy, and then they got messing around with Robbie Ray and took him out of his pattern. You know, they do all these things to protect these pitchers, and then all of a sudden you're messing with the routine that you created for them. It's just, I don't know. I just get astounded at we get back on that one subject.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, it's a big big subject, I think. It's an interesting one to see how managers treat these guys.
Yeah, and I fully understand the short leash if you're in a win-or-go-home situation, because there's no sense saving anybody for tomorrow if tomorrow's not going to be until next April. But the other stuff, sometimes you do something and you create yourself a situation where you pay in the long run because you don't have the availability of guys when you need them. You know, but who knows? They're making a lot more money than I am. And the one thing I know, and it's why I tend not to second guess too much, those guys probably want to win. You know, like when Christensen was here, a lot of people had their problems or whatever. But I really think he probably wanted to win every bit as much as any fan at Wyoming, even if it was to get out of Wyoming and go someplace, you know, a bigger school. So I think sometimes we forget the fact that the people that are in charge of these things, they're not trying to lose. They may not be any good, or they may not have an idea what they're doing, but, you know, they've got a lot more at stake with whether they win or not than we do. All we are is fans.
Tracy, before we let you go, Rockies have some big decisions with free agents and whatnot. What's top of the list to try and bring back to Denver next season for the Rockies, you think?
I think LeCroy's got to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, I think, as it went on, I mean, he's a good offensive catcher, and when he started getting to play regularly again, which he didn't happen to him in Texas, the offense started to come back. But more than that, he's just a calming influence on for the young pitchers. I think that's a big factor. If I was them, I'd hope I could sign Cargo for a year. I'd love to see Cargo come back for a year with the focus of reestablishing his value. And then if you can't get Holland, which with Boris and with what he put together this year, it'll be difficult. I mean, he's got his own option of $15 million, but I'm sure he's going to look for four for 70 or something. But then you really, I think, you've got to resign a couple of those guys like Neshek and someone else to share that role with him late in the game. You know, Neshek, McGee, you got to have something there in case you don't get the real closer. But you know, both those guys are capable of being quality guys to get to the closer if you reach a point of say that you decide that Marquez is really going to be your closer, because I know there's been some talk that that's really where he could really excel. You know, but to have some veteran help down there for him.
I didn't realize Holland was a Boris guy. That would make it difficult.
Yeah, and so we'll see. He's a little bit different, but he's got a good relationship with Foster. He's developed one with Holmes. They're neighbors in Asheville, they found out. Danny Montgomery's from Asheville, who's one of the Rockies' main scouts. So there's some ties in there. So maybe something would happen, but you know, if I'm the Rockies, I'd go to him and see if he'd take a 2-year extension to what he has. I wouldn't get into 4 or 5 years. I'd be uncomfortable actually with 3 for a reliever. But I think that he just brings a confidence level if he's there to everybody else.
Good stuff as always, Tracy. Thank you so much. We will visit next week, and we'll hopefully have more information on these games and what's going on with the Rockies as well. But nonetheless, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, and we'll try not to get off on a tangent.
No, tangents are good, man. Okay. I like that information. Thanks, man.
All right.
Later.